I always feel like they're asking me to sort of white knuckle it and to just like leave that phone behind and just suck it up. And that works a little bit, but then you start missing your damn phone. I mean, they call it an addiction for a reason. And what I've found is that you need to fight fire with fire. So you can't just like tell yourself you're going to leave the phone behind and then go take a walk, because truth is, walks can be a little boring. You got to find the part of yourself that you have left behind, the version of yourself that used to have these sort of quieter, sometimes slower joys and thrills offline.
Chris Collin is just chill. He's a writer and author whose work has appeared in Best American Science and Nature Writing, The New York Times, Pop-Up Magazine, Wired, NewYorker.com, and Outside Magazine. He co-wrote the book What to Talk About, and he's the publisher of 6 Feet of Separation. It's the nation's first pandemic newspaper by and for kids, which he started during quarantine, and it's been covered even by Dan Rather. He has a brand new book out. It's called Off, The Day the Internet Died, A Bedtime Fantasy. It's a kid's book for adults. It's beautifully illustrated, and it's narrated like it was the Bible. It's quirky, fantastical, and it makes readers wonder, how would we all survive and deal with ourselves without the internet? So today, we talk about the joy of writing a kid's book for adults, how joyful it actually is to go offline, how you can do it too without going cold turkey, and the benefits of an analog world. This is a short, sweet episode. His book is also short and sweet. I know it'll create more vitamin joy in your life. Enjoy. I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Vitamin Joy. Chris Collin, welcome to Vitamin Joy.
Thanks, Shelby. Nice to be here.
You wrote this amazing book, a kid's book for adults, Off, The Day the Internet Died, A Bedtime Fantasy. I mean, you're like a New York Times writer. You write all this serious stuff, and then you write this bedtime fantasy. What made you want to write it?
The world was getting a little serious for my taste, and I was getting a little serious for my taste. So I decided to take a break and do something that was funny, or at least outwardly funny. You know, it's actually sort of a sneaky thing. The idea is that this is sort of a Trojan horse. It's a funny book, but that you give it to someone in your life who has a little bit of an internet problem, or maybe to yourself who has a little bit of an internet problem. And it actually is supposed to spark some interesting conversations, even though, you know, it's mostly funny.
Okay, so Chris, can you just read a page to us? And I'd love for you to read the page that sort of mentions podcasts, because it just makes me laugh.
Sure. Okay. I'm picking a page from the middle of the book. When the internet has gone out all around the world, no one knows why, and people are sort of scrambling in this new reality. Also, it's written in like this biblical language. So you have to imagine me having like Morgan Freeman's voice, speaking in like a godlike voice, okay?
You've got it.
All right. On the day the screens went dark, 33,298 New Yorkers refreshed no news feeds. 21,983 Parisians knew not how long their commutes would take. And 7,332 Londoners listened to an unfamiliar podcast consisting of their thoughts. Let me freaking perish, all said unto themselves, though some also felt a strange calm. What sweet new calming app hath installed, they wondered. But there was none.
Ooh, so much goodness in there.
So yeah, so the internet winks out for no clear reason, and people freak out, as we would. And then gradually things start to change, and people sort of get used to it and find sort of a new version of themselves and a new version of the world offline.
Did you find any of this actually happening last year while we were in the midst of quarantine?
God, no. Oh, my God, no. No, I mean, coming out of, knock wood, coming out of this past year, I mean, that's sort of why this book felt urgent to me, because I have never been more tethered to my Wi-Fi signal in my life. And we had to be. I mean, no shame. Like, you had to be checking the internet every 4 minutes to see what awful thing was happening in the world, or what new strain of the virus was out, or whether anyone had invaded any federal buildings lately. Like, the world was on fire, and we had to be addicted, or we had to be soothing ourselves with streaming content, or, you know, whatever, or ordering things because we were locked in our houses. So the internet was indispensable. And I feel like we've hit this moment now where we can sort of imagine a new normal. And that's sort of what I'm hoping happens.
And you're in San Francisco area. So, like,
yeah, I'm in the belly of the beast.
It's a little bit more bleak than in San Diego, I think. Here we can kind of check out and go surfing. Like, let's be honest, some of us are really privileged like me and can do that. So screen time has probably gone up 10x this year for some people.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you've explored this in detail. You know, what are some of the ways people can have more vitamin joy by going more analog?
Yeah. You know, when you look into the world of, like, the digital detox, or folks who are trying to help you get offline, I mean, God bless them, I always feel like they're asking me to sort of white knuckle it and to just, like, leave that phone behind and just suck it up. And that works a little bit, but then you start missing your damn phone. I mean, they call it an addiction for a reason. And what I've found is that you need to fight fire with fire. We are addicted to these things because they're designed to be addictive. And we get a dopamine hit every time we get a heart or a like, or every time a friend or even a colleague, you know, writes to us. Some tiny little thing happens on our screen that we enjoy at some level. It's a chemical change that happens. And we need to find that in the real world if we want to have a shot at getting offline in any kind of meaningful way. So you can't just, like, tell yourself you're going to leave the phone behind and then go take a walk. Because truth is, walks can be a little boring. I mean, that's the sad truth about going offline after you've been addicted so long. The real world can be a little slow at first. And obviously, we want to get to a place where we love that slow again. But it takes some adjusting. So my advice to myself and to anyone who's listening is, you got to find the part of yourself that you have left behind. The version of yourself that used to have these sort of quieter, sometimes slower joys and thrills offline. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about what theirs are, because it's just sort of a fun thing to ask someone. Everyone's got one. I was talking to a comedian named Zara the other day, and she said, you know, she used to make these really funny videos with her nieces. And then the internet came along, and she started to realize how much good stuff there was online, like how many amazing videos there were that people were making. And she just sort of stopped because hers weren't good enough. Another person told me that what they really miss is the version of themselves that would go into a restaurant they've never been to and have no idea whether it's supposed to be good or supposed to be bad, because there's no Yelp. You know, the version of yourself that likes getting lost in a new city, the part of yourself that doesn't have a map in your hand all the time, the part of yourself that loves being totally unaccountable. You're going out in the world, your loved ones need you for some thing, and you absolutely cannot be reached. And that is, it's a dark little thrill that a lot of people have, you know, just like, you cannot find me. I am out there in the world and you can't get a hold of me. Another one that I think people have a lot and have lost touch with has to do with music. Music is so easy right now for us to listen to. You can hear any damn album in the world, or any song rather. And one thing that I've encouraged people to do is pick some album and listen to the whole thing the way you used to a long time ago, where you can't skip around to the next song you want. You can't go to some new playlist.
Wait, kids have never done that though.
I know. Well, they're going to have to learn. We're going to have to show them. But yeah, I mean, and I think that stands for a larger part of this project, which is sometimes you're bored. Sometimes being offline is boring, and that's okay. In fact, it's really important to our sense of well-being, I think, to be bored sometimes.
I love this. So I lived in Costa Rica for years in, like, 09 to 10, 11, 12, like to 2013. And internet didn't always work, especially when it rained. And I started dating this guy who lived on the other side of the river. And I didn't have a watch. My watch broke surfing and I was done. There was like no place to buy a watch. So we would just meet by the palm tree, which there's a lot of palm trees, but like the one at sunset. And then it started raining and the river flooded. So I couldn't get to his house. And that was that. That was the end of the relationship.
Wow.
And so when I go travel back to Costa Rica, I do everything in my power to put my phone in a safe. Now people have WhatsApp and it's like ruined, but
right.
I'm just like,
well,
hey,
would you go back to that? I mean, that sounds amazing to me, but it also sounds really hard.
We go back to that as best as possible, except for, you know, every now and then we have to make dinner plans with people and, you know, right. It's COVID. So we're going to have to make reservations places, but
right.
Yeah,
right.
I think, and I used to do this thing on Saturdays where I completely turned off my phone. I cannot do that anymore. Like, too many people are trying, my family tries to get a hold of me for like little things. We're going to talk more about digital detox and give tips from Chris that are really good. But first, a thank you to our sponsors. Lazy Acres, for those who've never been, it's one of those amazing grocery stores that you could take Instagram pictures in. It's just that beautiful. The produce is absolutely stunning. They started in 1991 in Santa Barbara, and there's 5 locations in Southern California, and they always have the most quality local produce, grass-fed meats, wild-caught seafoods, and my favorite, an amazing prepared food section with fresh sushi, poke, salads, even matzo ball soup, and an awesome juice bar. They're also committed to their community and making the neighborhoods they serve a better place. They're part of 1% for the Planet Network, and they give 1% of all private label sale items back to local nonprofits who share their mission of making the earth a healthier, greener place. You can check out one of the 5 Lazy Acre locations in California. You'll often find me at the one in Encinitas buying vitamins and yummy juices and, of course, salsa. I love salsa. You can also check out lazyacres.com for weekly specials, exact store location, their wellness blog, and more. One more word about our other amazing sponsor, who happens to be a chocolate sugar-free keto vitamin FX chocolate. I love dark chocolate, and I also love high-quality vitamins. So when my friend started working at a new company, FX Chocolate, which makes squares of dark chocolate with 6 different supplement variations that, by the way, are sugar-free and keto-friendly, I was like, yeah, send me some. FX Chocolate created 6 different supplement variations with nutraceutical ingredients like ashwagandha, reishi mushrooms, GABA, and CBD. And they even have a vitamin D coming out really soon. All these ingredients are expertly packed into handcrafted squares of dark chocolate. The packaging is beautiful. I put them on my bed like I'm staying at a hotel. And my favorite blend of theirs is called Focus because, well, I need to focus more. It has ashwagandha inside, and it works, and it tastes delicious. Vitamin Joy listeners get 20% off their first order. So use the promo code VITAMINJOY at checkout at fxchocolate.com. That's F as in fun, X as in X Games, chocolate.com. I love this product. You can have your chocolate. You can eat it too. Don't forget, go to fxchocolate.com. Use promo code VITAMINJOY at checkout. You know, you ask a question, and you talked to me about this recently, like, imagine a world without the internet. What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to, we all grumble about the internet in one way or another. We complain about, you know, all the emails we owe, or how social media is so demented, or, you know, how people talk to each other on the internet is sort of toxic, or whatever. But I think we too seldom actually articulate what we would do without the internet and how our lives would improve. For sure, our lives would suck in a lot of ways.
My podcast would be done. So, like, there's certain things we love.
You could hand deliver your podcast, Shelby. You could go door to door.
That's true. I could just do it live over a fire.
Right, over a fire. But no, I think that if you go through the project of actually naming something that would improve in your life, I think that you reconnect with this version of yourself that is sort of, it exists in this ghost dimension. That's how I picture it. There's this other version of ourselves out there that we've lost touch with. And I think that if you imagine that person sort of coming back online, so to speak, there's value in that. And it's healthy to be in touch with that old you, that slower you. And I have little challenges that I like to sort of toss off for folks who want to give it a whirl.
Well, let's do it. Usually at the end of the show, we ask people for vitamin joy challenges, but I say you just start throwing them out now. I love it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right, Shelby, you're saying you're getting texts and calls and stuff on your Saturday. This is a tough one. Next time you get an important text, ignore it. Just see what happens. All right, someone might get mad at you, but that's part of the deal.
My husband does that, and he's really good at it, and eventually people just stop texting him.
Yeah,
and then they text me, and I'm like, I hate you. Now they're texting me, but hey.
I know. You know, I'm a total hypocrite. I want to be clear about this. Whenever my wife doesn't respond to my text, I get all mad at her. And I think like embracing your hypocrisy around the internet is a big part of having a healthy relationship to it. It's not binary. Like, it's okay to love huge parts of the internet and to be totally addicted and to try and get away from it a little bit. We're a complicated species. We can handle that. Okay, along those lines, another challenge. Next time you took too long to write back to someone and you're about to apologize for taking too long to get back to them, cut out the apology. I want to retrain ourselves to have a slower response time be okay. Next time you're on a vacation, no photos. Sketch it. Get out some pencils or some pens, piece of paper, sketch that moment. It doesn't matter if you are a horrible artist. Just draw it. No photos. I don't even need to tell you. I don't want to see your photos online afterwards. Okay, next challenge. Phone-free trips to the bathroom. It's a touchy one. A lot of people love to take their Scrabble game to the bathroom. But first of all, don't. It's, you know, you need that time to think. We have precious few times in our days to actually get some thinking done. And also, it's not good for your health.
Yeah, I don't take my phone to the bathroom. That's a funny one.
Well, people either do or don't. And the people that do it a lot, is what I've found.
I guess my friend's kid takes her phone to the bathroom because she can play video games and her mom doesn't know.
Yeah, well, it's a safe place.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, interesting.
And then there are just some sort of obvious ones that we neglect too much, like write a letter with a pen and paper. That big blocky thing on your shelf, that's a book. Take it down from the shelf and read that instead of reading the news. Give yourself a little bit of a news diet. I think part of our addiction to the internet is feeling like we need to know what's happening at every moment. And the truth is, we just don't. Good things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen in the world. That's just how it goes. And it'll happen regardless of whether we know about it in the moment.
I agree. I've done that for most of this year. It's been really nice. And as a journalist, that's a hard thing to do. But I'm like, this is not adding value to my life, whether I know about it or not. I'm going to stay informed. I'm going to do my part. But at some point, you have to decide, is this hurting your health or helping it?
Yeah, I think you're totally right, Shelby. I think too seldom do we ask ourselves, is this helping or hurting? We just go on this autopilot. So much of our behavior with the internet is unthinking. That's how I realized I had a problem. It would be like 2 a.m, and that's when I'd do all my best worrying. You know, something would wake me up, and instead of sitting there to actually like go through my worries or think about the day or think about the world, I would reach for my stupid phone. And, you know, it was like a quick balm. I could just, you know, look at pictures or read an article in a magazine or whatever. It was not allowing me to have that processing time when you're supposed to lie on your back and look up at the ceiling and wish that you could be asleep. It's terrible to be bored and frustrated like that, but I think that's important processing time.
Yeah, worrying. I just did a podcast about it, and someone said, you know, worrying is an action. And so people think that, like, when you have no control over something, like we had so little control over last year and everything that was happening, that worrying gives us an action to do. It's like a rocking chair. It gets you nowhere. It gives you something to do. It gets you nowhere. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. You know, I kind of want to switch gears because, you know, you're a journalist. I'm a journalist. So we're basically saying don't read journalism. But one of the things you did during this time is not only did you produce this amazing kids book for adults about the internet, it's like a funny gift. I mean, you have big time people supporting it like Dave Eggers, but you created a kids newspaper, old school.
Well, sort of old school. This is where I'm a bit of a hypocrite again. It is totally online. But yes, the very first week that schools shut down here in San Francisco where I live, I fired off an email to just a handful of neighbors who were parents and said, I feel like your kids are probably starting to go a little crazy and wondering what's going on in the world, what's going on in their homes. Suddenly this strange thing is happening outside their doors. Anyone want to write an article about it? And I thought I would get like a handful of haiku about Purell or whatever. But the email went out, not just beyond my neighborhood, but beyond San Francisco, and it went all around the country. And then pretty soon I was getting articles from kids all around the world who were trying to make sense of what the hell was happening. So I started publishing this free online youth pandemic newspaper.
Cool.
I let the kids do everything. They write everything. They came up with the title, 6 Feet of Separation. And I'm just the guy who edits it. But it's for kids, it's by kids, and it's been awesome. And it really changed the way I understand kids' minds.
Any joyful things that have really come out of that, like that you just remember, or funny things that kids have said?
Yeah, you know, I really thought that there would be like, it would all be maudlin and heavy because there was plenty to be maudlin and heavy about. But kids experience everything so differently than how adults do. And everything's very sort of immediate. You know, we could have, Shelby, you and I could be looking at the news and see this horrible thing that happens, you know, in the headlines. And kids, you know, maybe they see that headline, maybe they don't. But what they want to know is, wait, can I stay up half an hour later tonight because it's pandemic? Or wait, are we having meatballs because like things are a little different? You know, like they're very attuned to these little subtle shifts that we don't really, you know, that's maybe not at the top of our minds. But so I would get, you know, articles like one of my favorites was a review from this kid named Ender of his mom's cooking. And she had dared to put parsley in the pasta. And so she got dinged for that. She got like 3 out of 5 stars. It was a lukewarm review. And I just loved that this kid was reviewing his own food, his own, you know, dinner in the middle of the pandemic. And then there's certainly been plenty of really serious processing of what's been going on too.
So, yeah, well, that's really cool. So we can all get 6 Feet of Separation where?
6feetofnews.com.
6feetofnews.com. I love it. And it like hit good more. It hit big press, right?
Oh, yeah. Dan Rather wrote about it in the New York Times. Yeah, it was nice. It hit a nerve. And yeah, if you know any kids who are having feelings, tell them to write them down or draw them. My editorial policy is yes.
That's awesome. Okay. So a lot of people listening would love to write, you know, for me, I would love to write a kid's book for adults. Like that's something that I think would bring everybody vitamin joy. Any advice on, you know, how to even get into this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, so this is a picture book. It's, I don't know how many pages, 30 something pages. And, you know, it just started with an idea that I thought was both serious and funny, which is my favorite kind of idea. You know, I have a literary agent and we started talking about it and we found this wonderful illustrator named Renee Shaw. And she did just the kind of thing that worked for this topic. It's both beautiful and demented, strange and lush and funny. So, you know, I think one thing that really helps is find an illustrator. If you are the writer, find an illustrator whose work you like and start talking about how this thing might come together. Or if you're an illustrator, find a writer. Or you can be someone who does both. And then, you know, reach out to an agent. I know that's a little daunting, but that is usually how it starts. And if there's a book out there already that you like, you can get in touch with the author sometimes and find out who their agent is, or you can just Google around. I will allow that use of the internet. And then you just reach out to them and just say, hey, you know, in a paragraph, say, here's this idea I have.
And what's the response been from this book?
You know, it's been great. I think when people realize that it's funny and that I'm not a scold about the internet and that it's actually just sort of a way to laugh and look at some lovely art and also sort of be reminded of this other part of yourself, or if you're giving it to someone, have them be reminded. It really hit a chord, I've noticed. People really just like, I think we're coming out of some weird internet cocoon this past year, and people are eager to make a change and connect with a healthier version of themselves. And this is like a non-scoldy way to ease into that decision.
For me, my downfall with the internet this this winter was, or this last year was when I watched Tiger King and I liked it. And then I got hooked and then it just got so weird. And I was like, oh yeah, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's so addicting.
Oh, it's really hard. Well, I mean, so much of the internet is real good. It's a doozy. I mean, of course, there's so many good shows on and, you know, there's more music being made than ever. There's a lot of great things happening online. No question. So they make it hard for us.
Well, what is bringing you vitamin joy right now?
I'll tell you something. The day my book came out, I sent a big email to like everyone telling people they had to buy it. And apparently I sent too many emails from my stupid old email account and it crashed. It crashed my email account and I got locked out of email. So basically, like, I couldn't communicate with the world on this day that I really needed to be. I had editors writing to me and people wanting to excerpt the book or whatever. And I absolutely just could not be in touch with anyone. And I just thought, oh, geez, like, this is the very thing I asked for and I got it and it sucks. And I was just sort of scrambling, trying to fix my stupid email. And then I realized, wait a second, I should take my own medicine. So I closed my laptop, put on my coat, and I just took a walk for 2 hours. And I just blocked out all my worries and all the things that could be happening. And I just walked around and looked at things. I looked at clouds. Like, I was 7 years old. I looked at clouds. And it doesn't solve all your problems. I'm not going to claim that. But I will tell you, there was a shift. And I felt calm and joyful, and I reconnected with this version of me who I like much more than the guy who's hunched over his stupid laptop.
I love it. Chris, this has been a joy. I mean, I have to say thank you because I'm trying to read like a book a week or maybe at least a book a month. And I was like, yes, I read off in about 10 minutes. And
that's my gift to the busy people. You can breeze through this thing.
It's awesome. What is your vitamin joy challenge to listeners listening to this show?
Next time something momentous happens in your life, maybe it's a birthday, maybe you get a vaccine shot in your arm, experience that feeling on your own or with whoever's near you, like physically with you. It's hard. I know we want to share that photo. I know we want to share a text or whatever, but as an experiment, don't experience it privately or whoever's like physically with you and just see how that feels and see what happens.
I love that, especially because I posted a picture of getting a vaccine and got all sorts of insane commentary on my Instagram, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
But there were some different opinions about it. Chris, this is a pleasure. Where can people find more about you? Get the book Off the Day the Internet Died, a bedtime fantasy, and interact.
Thanks, Shelby. I have a really fun URL, timetogetoff.com. My illustrator and I found that we couldn't believe it was available. Timetogetoff.com. Sounds real inappropriate and dirty, but it's not.
Time to get off.
Time to get off. So if you go there, you can find me, you can find the illustrator, you can find the book, you can find some funny things. There's a funny video. And a bunch of funny, interesting stuff out there.
You need to make some t-shirts that say, it's time to get off.
Oh my God, Shelby, you're right. You're right. All right, I'll do it.
I would wear them.
Okay.
Your vitamin joy challenge this week. Leave your device at home for that next big occasion. Just experience it and see how it feels. You want to go even bigger? Well, go offline for a whole day, a weekend, an hour, 20 hours, whatever you can do, but force yourself to not touch your device, to be bored, and maybe consider not responding to that important text, but no blaming me if it was your boss or something like that. Also, go to Time to Get Off, what a great internet name, timetogetoff.com. to find more about Chris Collin and this awesome book. Vitamin Joy is supported by brands like Lazy Acres Market and FX Chocolate. Support them, they support the podcast. This podcast is also edited by Jennifer McCord and there's audiograms by the amazing Ariana Starkman. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is a labor of love and joy. You can find more information and other podcasts wherever you subscribe to this show. You can also go to shelbystanger.com/vitaminjoy. I hope you're all having a great week. Don't forget to dose yourself and spread some more vitamin joy to others.